We're like simulcasting here.
It's not an actual dream.
That's not a dream, Graziella.
Your hopes, your wants, that, your loves, your heart.
In support of set small, achievable goals.
We can walk there while we smoke that cigarette.
Oh, they're going out to smoke.
Oh, okay. I thought they were leaving us.
No, some of the people are leaving.
Okay.
Graziella's just going to smoke a
they're
cigarette.
They're leaving because they're going to go have convention intercourse.
Oh, they're sharing a room with a bunch of people.
Yeah, well, you know, that doesn't stop people from what I hear in the tales of convention intercourse.
Well, if you're
polite. They lock the latch.
Oh.
You know, they got the door where you can turn
the... No, if you're polite, you do it during the day when all your roommates are at the panels.
Okay, tell me more.
I'm just saying.
All right.
That's the, you know, the gentleman thing.
The way you do it. Because, I mean, in the last convention I've been at, they didn't know about the latch door trick. So, you know, people just burst in, and then it was literally like the Phoenix Wright objection point, like, what are you guys doing? Are you parking each other in our shared convention space room? And they're like, oh, no, we've been caught. And that was awkward.
Yeah,
I wasn't there, though.
Most people are too tired from conventions anyway, like, for that to be... Or if you're... Come on, if your roommates are married... I think it's worse if you're dealing with, like, single people who are getting hooking up.
That's not a dream. The dream...
You do need to explain this fight.
The dream has become reality. This is actually not really that momentous. I mean, for those who don't know, like, Tokyo Pop is having a contest for America's Greatest Otaku, and they've got a bus, a tour bus, where they're going, making stops in various cities in America to have people audition for competing.
What? But this is like a...
And the prize is
I'm
that...
I'm in the middle of recording. My Otakon dream is to record this podcast.
You get to,
like,
you know,
which I am,
be a Tokyo Pop employee.
Here, are we keeping passing this around?
All right, let me take
time out.
That's
for Dave's show, I think.
My Otakon dream is to have my goddamn anime's craziest death panel happen at this thing one day.
Well, yeah.
Maybe next year, now that the panel worked this time, but, you know, who knows. But yeah, I just want people to see Apocalypse Zero and Mad Bull, right?
Oh,
Mad Bull
34.
Those are two great
classics.
Angel
Everything
is, you know, made better. It's like, how else are these kids going to learn what real anime is? Otherwise, they keep watching it talking.
Exactly. Remember, Daryl.
I don't know how a freaking recording thing works. I was just talking like this, because, you know, that's what
good.
Yeah,
remember
it's probably
good
enough.
All right. So as I was saying,
stop recording. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh.
Go
all right. Ahead. So, Tokyo Pop is having a contest to be America's greatest otaku, and to facilitate this, they've got a bus. A tour bus that is going to different locations in the country. I encourage you to go to YouTube and watch the audition videos and the advertisements for this. If you watch,
like, Colony Drop Dave, he said he tried to watch part of it. Or no, he tried to watch Van Von Hunter, but he only made it through like 20 minutes in.
Yeah, I think he tried to watch the clip as well, and he was just mildly offended by it. But, you know, they've hired a bunch of bright 20-something college kids to... be the contestants or candidates or something, the judges. I don't know what they are, but they're involved with this tournament. They're enthusiastic people. They're very normal, very well-adjusted folk, which kind of runs antithetical to what I consider an otaku to be.
Yeah.
And but the idea is that Tokyo Pop is trying to do what they did with the word manga, which is co-opt it to what their own definition is.
Co-opting the word otaku?
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. When Tokyo Pop got started there, build themselves 100% authentic manga.
Yeah.
They eventually found that they couldn't get manga anymore because the deals all got locked up with the different publishers, Kodansha, Shueisha, etc., etc. And so they said, okay, we'll just change the definition of what manga is and tell people that here in America, you too can be a manga artist if you just draw this particular way. And they coined, like, you know, OEL and all these things, like original English language, manga.
Yeah.
And, you know, the secret to manga is, you know, sweat drops and speed lines and
right,
such.
Yeah, and screen tone.
Right. And so, you know, it's a lie that people want to believe. And, you know, it's a brilliant tactic, you know, to repackage culture and then sell it back to the people who want to believe it.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing with otaku now. you know, they want people to believe that, hey, you're an otaku because, you know, you like to dress up in costumes and you like to wear cat ears and a tail and say sugoi desu ne. And so they're running a contest to have people audition on video. And it's sort of like a, I don't know, it's judged by people in Japan or whatever. The prize is you get to be represented for Tokyopop. I find the entire contest abhorrent and, you know, think it's a cheap marketing ploy on the part of Tokyopop, who can't get manga licenses anymore,
right,
who can't sell OEL things, people aren't going for it. Manhwa never caught on. Their anime titles have all tanked. They need a source of revenue.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like an extensive pilot attempt to get on television.
Yeah, after they failed to get into a movie theater with their many, many pitches to Hollywood.
And so when I saw the bus, and I was like, oh, my God, it's the greatest otaku bus. And, you know, it's the bus is entirely painted with graphics and such of, you know, Tokyopop OEL style characters. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do a recreation of the picture I took of this car that I encountered at AWA once with all these different Sharpie anime slogans drawn on it.
Yeah.
It was basically a first-person shot of me holding a clown pistol. This was many, many years ago, back when clown pistols were in fashion. At this car to express my disapproval of the concept. I have no gun. And so I figured, okay, I'll just take a first-person shot of me giving it the finger.
Yeah.
I have a point-and-shoot camera. And so there's multiple different settings on it. And so I just wasn't getting a good shot. So I'd give the bus the finger, and it's like, oh, that shot didn't come up very well. And then it's like I'd have to switch to automatic. It's like, meanwhile, I'm just continually flipping the bus, the bird, in the middle of Baltimore out in the street. Eventually, a guy turns around, and he's like, what's your problem, man? And it's like, I'm fairly certain I'm about to get stabbed. And so I'm like, no, not you, man. The bus. The bus is the one I'm giving the finger to. And then he says something indistinct. He's like, my bus. And he's like, no, the bus. And eventually, he's just like, it's my bus is what I'm like, okay, well, I disapprove of what your bus's message is. And after about 2 or 3 minutes, it dawns on me that it's Stu Levy, the CEO and founder of Tokyopop, who's giving the story.
It's Gerald McQuiston.
And then eventually, you know, two of his associates came in, and, you know, here's poor Clarissa, who got so angry because we were walking to get dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, here I am having an extensive argument with Stu Levy, and she's incredibly mad and won't talk to me. But, you know, she seems slightly more talkative now.
We'll see.
But, you know, that's a story. It's not much of a story,
so,
but
yeah,
I mean, I think it was in the right. But, you know, I think it's, if they were shooting video, they're going to edit it and make me look like an idiot. Because, I mean, one of the defenses she gave was like, you know, anime is my future. If I was in a Joss Whedon television show, I would have had a snappy remark to that. I had no response to it, but, you know.
Anime is whose future?
It was her future. One of the Tokyopop ladies who's part of this thing. That was one of her responses. And when I started to object to their usage of the term, doesn't correspond to how it's used. They said, do you speak Japanese? Well, you know, all these things can easily be edited in to make it seem like I have no good response for it.
Yeah.
I'll look bad whenever they're done with it, no matter what. But, you know, if anime is your future's pretty grim and in financially dire straits. So, you know, that's the end of the story. Eventually, we got pulled away to do food, and Clarissa walked away in a huff, very angry at me, and hasn't spoken to me since.
Right. So, at dinner, based on the tweet that you did, we pictured various scenarios where you're in a cage match with Stu Levy and fighting it out.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Right. Which we thought would be amusing. No. Right. We think it would just be a good fight. Like, we're not really, you know, if you were taking odds or whatever.
Oh, if you were laying off. No, Stu Levy would kill me.
Well, how do you figure?
Oh, man, he can throw furniture. I've heard the stories of,
oh, really?
You know, his chair throwing, you know, antics upon getting angry at, you know, employees. I can't. Don't you dare say Under Siege 2 is one of the coolest movies ever. The villain was trying to steal rip off of Largo from Bubblegum Crisis with his laser death satellites. If I was Daniel Zeltzer, I'd be all over the internet being Hollywood stealing ideas from Japtoons again. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just ruining this waveform.
You're maxing out.
All right, should give the microphone
to
someone more qualified.
Anyway.
That's a downgrade.
Oh, okay. The con has been quite good to me. My panels have all gone spectacularly, as I would expect them to. Yeah, I'm awesome. So, oh yeah, I didn't lose the presentation. I forgot,
he forgot it.
I forgot to bring it, and so I made one up, and it turned out probably to be better than the one that I was actually working on for months and months, which was kind of it was crappy anyway, but it was less crappy than the one that I had on my computer originally. So I hate PowerPoint. But it went pretty well, I thought.
Our flight got delayed on the way in, and then I injured myself almost immediately.
Yeah, all the
been in pain for the entire weekend since.
All the external stuff to the con has been horrible.
But I guess at least the one panel that I helped with went okay. It went well.
Yeah, we're...
I'm a loser, and I fell on the stairs.
It was very sad.
Yes, I twisted my ankle and scraped it horribly. It looks pretty gross. Although it's not as swollen anymore, so that's good.
And
but
apparently
it still looks pretty gross.
And apparently because Vega wanted to be cool like Clarissa, she went and did the same thing. Yeah.
Yes, she also injured her ankle.
Somewhere
I don't
around
think
the,
so.
She couldn't be as cool as Clarissa and do it on the same stairs. That would be just posing. So she did it.
But I have successfully gone up and down those stairs since then and not fallen again. So a victory, I suppose.
I think that's an important...
I was worried it was going to be like a Madarame and Genshin thing, like at Comic-Con where he... every day you see... like every time there are people being carried out on stretchers. Now I'm getting a phone call from Carl. All
right. So, yeah. Mr. Chavez is looking at me. That is my plan, yeah. I need to go and visit some lawyers first.
Yes, Gerald, as usual, is crashing our party.
He cannot go into Arizona. He was with
it's,
You can't have nice things when you're part of the AWO.
It's, yeah, it's been... like, if I did go, I'd basically have to go straight from the airport to the American Embassy. But it could probably happen. So, if I go to Comic-Con.
Do you think a lot of people turned out for your History of Hentai panel? Like, I couldn't really see if the room was full. I mean, we were in, like,
the room was... it was not packed. It was not full,
yeah.
But it was really packed. I lost about a third of the audience, which was exactly what I expected.
And what was, like, the first moment when, like... what was the clip you were showing when people started to walk out?
People started walking out when I started showing clips from 2000... from 1001 Nights. Like, the sex scene in this is this really weird, artsy... you saw it.
Yeah,
but it just
helped that the scene was incredibly long.
It was a really long clip.
Yeah.
And you showed, like, a lot of it. You probably... everyone got the point after a couple minutes.
So...
someone in the front row made the funny comment on, like, a second or third abstract sex scene you were showing where they were like, this is like watching scrambled porn.
Yes.
Which was accurate, if you're not used to it. You also failed to mention on your panel how you first saw Belladonna of Sadness, like, at Otakon.
Yeah, that's... I forgot,
I think
I forgot to say that.
Though. Yeah, but they always are showing a bunch of stuff in that one room where they have, like, the old track of things.
But unfortunately, as it is with those panels, for some reason,
yeah.
That you very, very rarely ever get feedback, good or bad. Like, people just don't really even say they went to the panel.
For hentai panels?
Yeah.
Someone's
and so
like
it's kind of hard to figure out, like, there's always room for improvement,
yeah.
But it's kind of tricky to figure out what you need to improve sometimes and what the audience didn't like. But... I'm not intending on that panel being like one that no one's going to walk out of.
Yeah, yeah. Because obviously, if people showed up to see a certain thing, then.
But some people just complimented me right now on it, so it worked out.
On the way here.
On the way here, yeah.
Where they were like, "Oh, good panel." Noah learned a lot.
It was like, "Oh, this is the best panel. It was so much fun. I hate anime, but I like your panel."
What?
I don't know why they even came to the con though.
They like hentai and
yeah,
anime?
They hate they don't really watch anime.
That's weird.
Are we recording? Is this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Should we, like, introduce ourselves or something? Go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Dave Cabrera. I write for a bunch of things. I'm the toy guy at Anime News Network. I'm a contributor and a founding member. And Ed says commander in chief of Colony Drop. So, see that? Ranking. Good job, Ed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm commander in chief, and I have a blog. Everybody has a blog, but, you know, mine is pretty good. Evan?
I'm Evan Minto. I'm the editor-in-chief of Anigamers.com, and I also run the Anigamers podcast. That's about it. I ran 1 pound. Are you getting picked up on a microphone? Okay. Right. Yeah, I ran 1 panel today, The Changing Faces of Anime, which was about anime character designs, kind of the history as they change, pretty much.
I don't think I hit up a panel today.
Huh?
I don't think I hit up a panel today.
Oh, yeah, you didn't.
Daryl, I'm sorry. I was doing an A&N article during the time that your deal was going down. I'm sorry, man. Otherwise... I know you do. That's right. I liked Guilty Gear too. That's right. Actually, Guilty Gear 2 sold very poorly. Oh, my hard video games. You kidding me? I don't play Gen in Street Fighter 4. That's bullshit. I don't want to learn all that crap. I play Light G in Blaze Blue. I don't like Gen in Street Fighter 4. Hell yeah, I like Virtua Fighter. I love frame advantage. Yeah, it is. I'll give it that.
You need a PhD just to start the game up.
That's right. I played Tekken for a little while, and I actually had to deliberately play dumber in order to play Tekken. It's a fact.
It's too much for any normal fighting game. Yeah. If there's such a thing as virtual humor.
Pretty well. I ran it twice before. Once at
there isn't any
at Genericon, which is my college convention, and it was. I think I had like 7 people in the room.
There's just bad voice acting.
Anime
that's
Next,
it.
I packed the.
You get your laughs off like 2 or 3 lines.
And this time, I think
that's
I asked
the entirety of the humor in the game.
How much? How many people kind of you know fit in that room? And,
it was a pretty long 3 years. Is
something like 150, 175 people. Showed
I'll start
up.
Again soon.
And I got some good responses. People were coming up, and they seemed to be really interested in the history of character designs. And Gerald, like,
what are we reading here, guys? By the way,
that's cool.
Is this? Oh, this is Miss Cius's favorite girl magazine.
We're looking at like we're looking.
The conversation split off into two here.
What's your best thing that's happened in the comics?
Best thing. It says a cop-out answer, but that picnic yesterday was actually really fun. We just had that kind of blogger picnic. Best event, though.
So we had like the Ninja Consultant picnic meetup thing. So people just kind of showed up, and I gave sandwiches to various people. And it lasted for a while. I kind of missed the Yoshida Brothers concert because everyone said it was full, and so I didn't go to it.
Picnic where Aaron showed me his Irish curse because his pants were unzipped.
Evan?
Yeah. Whatever. I meant to say Evan.
You said Aaron and his immediately afterwards.
Aaron's Irish curse is another matter.
What about my Irish curse, Daryl?
Are you trying to make you believe that it's pretty much
Irish? Hold on. Dig it through the pockets.
Yeah, I actually missed seeing Gundam Unicorn to be at that picnic because I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, the Bandai panel, which I was at earlier tonight, was actually pretty fun. I mean, I enjoy industry panels, which is some sort of morbid pleasure.
I was chilling in the lounge and letting the internet, like, tell me what was happening at the Bandai panel. I'm just so used to doing that during anime cons that I can do it at the anime con itself. I saw space.
I luckily didn't.
And that regret will haunt me for the rest of my life because I missed the panel in 2008 where Jam Project forced everybody to wear Lucky Star t-shirts and do the dance. It was listed as Bandai Surprise. How was I to know?
Surprise could be anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Guess what? We've got a Bandai surprise for you.
Like, what if it was a shitty surprise?
You can eat.
You know, I can't eat that much bioluminescence.
Thursday night in our hotel room, we got a bunch of people together and watched G-Savior. It was I don't even remember most of that movie. It's a blur to me.
Let me see if she in fact looks ghastly.
It was set. I think the actors were either Australian or Hong Kong. Canadian makes the most sense.
Well, yeah, she's not even really like the reader base of that magazine.
Stargate SG-1.
You know,
in any case, it's terrible.
I'm sorry. Bioluminescence, and somehow that saves the world from world hunger. And there's
they
robots
all do. It's just
that
like
aren't called Gundams. Yeah.
That's because this is the magazine, the fashion magazine for women in the sex
industry. Problems.
So it's the Japanese Cosmo.
Yeah.
Like I said.
I don't know why they. Do you know why they didn't call them Gundams?
What happened?
Why are they not called Gundams?
I think it was because of a steady refusal to use that name whatsoever, because that was their crossover project, right? America, right? Don't want to use a silly nonsense word, right? That's why it can be a G. Because that's not nonsense at all. And G-Savior isn't nonsense at all. It's a serious science fiction movie. I'm thinking like a Japanese executive right now. That's tough. You'd have to have an online poll to determine that, and I recommend that be the next AWO online poll.
I don't know any members of G-Unit.
I just know 50, right. Maybe you can just pick him out from that. Like, I hear he has a number of sidekicks.
Re-ask that question to my friend here, and he might know the answer.
Ask it again. That's not going to help, Daryl.
Which member? I'm just saying. Which member
being a dick
of G Unit is the G Savior?
Exactly.
Okay. If G Unit to be the G Savior, I would have to say it would have to be Lloyd Banks, because he's the only one technically there holding G Unit together. As much as they pulled away from their proprietor 50 Cent, it would be Lloyd Banks.
Info. Facts.
Another anime where another hip hop artist is based on the anime character would be Killer Bee of Naruto, which is a Killer Bees of Wu-Tang Clan, because they have a collection of old school anime. They figure, well, since they love anime so much, why not throw them in an anime themselves?
What about that time the RZA was the DJ in Afro Samurai Resurrection?
Or in Afro Samurai.
That's it.
Oh yeah, and
what? It went well. It went well. I mean, I didn't get to experience the con like, you know, most of the nerds here, but, you know, from my little vantage point, right behind Hyde and Kaz from Vamps, no, things were well. I mean, it was interesting to see, like, Old Spice Dude and your Captain Holler came by and got to spend, like, an hour and a half with Oscar from Rose of Versailles, so that was pretty good too. So,
did you sell a lot of chi?
Yeah, we sold a lot of chi. Sold a lot of chi. Made a lot of friends. You know, friends that were 2D now 3D, I guess. Sold a lot of Twin Spica. You know. Yeah, no. I mean, for my first Otakon, I guess it was better than expected.
Okay, that's still working. It's because you went to, like, Comic-Con last weekend. Not last weekend. Yeah, last week sold out of Chi, like, over and over, Chi Sweet Home over and over again. Like, do you want to say anything about that experience?
Well, that experience was kind of shocking, to be honest. You know, we really couldn't stock enough, and we had to mail stuff in and from New York into San Diego. And, like, as soon as it'd be put on the table, it'd just fly off the con room and
wait, so who was it selling to? Like, what kind of people were buying it at San Diego?
It was interesting. Like, practically anybody. There were guys in their, you know, 20s, 30s, 50s. There were mothers with their children literally pushing baby carriages. There were teens, 20-year-olds. There were ladies in their 60s and such. So, I mean, a wide range of people were picking the book up, and that's what I hoped would be the audience for Chi, but I wasn't necessarily expecting that we would see such results like immediately, like right from the gate, and particularly without any significant ad campaign or any ad campaign to begin with. So it's a pleasant surprise, but you know, I hope that's just the beginning, really.
So you brought a bunch of copies of Peepochu, and Felipe Smith was here, and I wanted to interview him, but now he's not around. But you sold out of copies of Peepochu, right?
Yeah, we sold out yesterday. We brought in a couple cartons, and yeah, I mean, we got rid of one and a half cartons on the first day alone, and then as people became more aware that Felipe was going to be signing throughout the weekend, you know, that just basically built up interest even more. And yeah, like I think about like 5 o'clock yesterday, we were all tapped out. So,
do you think was it people who had like read MBQ, or had they just seen like the guest list, or what?
I'd say like maybe 5% had actually read MBQ, and like another like 10% had heard MBQ. But yeah, it was in general, people had seen like his face in the catalog, or maybe saw a YouTube video about him, because there have been a few of them. And, you know, they were aware that he was around, and they just wanted to meet the personality, meet the man behind, you know, the comics. And I think, you know, engaging with Felipe, that kind of won people over almost instantaneously. So,
yeah, because he's pretty charming. And for the podcast listeners who might not know, Felipe is the guy who, like, went to Japan to write a comic for Morning 2 magazine. So he made it as mangaka. Now he's pitching more stories. All right. I think that is it for Otakon 2010. I was going to interview a dealer. I was hoping to interview Michael Center Nicholas. Press relations didn't really actually grant me any interviews at all. Again, like last year. And I bugged them this time. It's not like last time. But, oh well. I interviewed people on paper that I needed for Publishers Weekly. This magazine that I brought from Japan, how would you describe what's in this magazine?
It ranges from pathetic to horrifying. Well, it's the primarily sort of disturbing, or the primary thing that's disturbing about it is that women appear to be drawing on their eyes, literally. They take eyeliner and they create the illusion that their eyes are shaped differently by putting on way too much eyeliner and shaping it.
Yeah, it creates a very, very strange appearance.
Like, I guess this one isn't like overly weird, but the more I look at it, the more it disturbs me.
Oh. Yeah, this is, I don't know, it's kind of upsetting. Like, this is for ladies in like hostess industries and such. Already a super crappy job.
Yeah, already a crappy job. And
made possibly worse by the need to completely restructure your face every day.
by the need to, like, completely eliminate all uniqueness from your face as well. Like, get rid of your nose. They've got these ads back here that are great. I swear, these ads for, like, increasing your breast size. They're supposedly, like, there we go. Here,
look,
I am
pretty sure.
Look at that. Like, do you really believe that rubbing that cream on your breast is going to make them bigger?
Look, I'm pretty sure that the kind of men who frequent hostess establishments are not the kind of men who appreciate their women to be unique individuals.
But at the same time, can they really afford to be that discerning?
It could be worse. They could be spending that money on hosts.
I mean, there are advertisements in here about getting plastic surgery for your belly button. Because if your belly button is disgusting, no guy will want to go out with you. I swear, I saw a belly button one in here. Like, and they had a before and after. They had a before and after where I swear they had like a Cro-Magnon man, and then it like transformed her into a woman. Let me hold on. Let me find this. This is amazing. There we go. Check it out. Check. Tell me that the before and after here. That is a man in the first one, isn't that?
That is horribly sexist of you, Gerald.
Look at that. Tell me. She's basically like, just get rid of the frontal lobe of your head, of your brain, then we can like pull that all in. Like that someone would take the knife to you like this.
I want to talk for a minute about about this magazine for the graphic design, which is to say there are like
the
these lens flare sparkles.
You want to give people epilepsy by flipping through it like that?
It is an epileptic graphic design, yeah, with like these kind of lens flare sparkles on every page in like 1,000 places, and then like every font is a sparkly font, including the title is obscured entirely.
There should be a quota on how many sparkles you can use per page.
Or lens flares.
Gerald, this magazine is showing you how you can live the life of a real princess by being beautiful and getting men to fall in love with you and give you lots of money for being beautiful. And then you can afford like lots and lots of fancy clothes and
expensive
handbags. And what better way to demonstrate that you will be a real princess than to have jewels and lens flares and sparkly things on every surface?
Also, I think we've missed that on... It's getting really too loud. On every single page, there's everyone is wearing these contacts that blacken out their pupils in such a way that make them look like dolls. The Graziella's friend came up with yesterday the description where, like, they describe the eyes of the shark in the movie Jaws, where they say its eyes were pure black like a doll's, and it rolled back, and there's eyes in every model on every
England.
Page of this magazine. They've also blacked, like, whitened out their face so it looks incredibly flat.
It's very close.
Are you actually American?
It's close.
I want to see your papers. Because, no, we just stumbled across this section where they have these women who are apparently done up after different nationalities.
The thing is, we can sit here and talk about how sad this is, but I guarantee you that if I was able to make myself look like these girls, I would no longer be undateable. So...
I guess that's true. Although, to be like these girls, you probably would be undateable because your Yakuza boss would stab anybody who didn't pay to have sex with you.
All right, that's a good point.
We're forgetting an important point here.
Yeah.
Princesses don't date. They are saved from things.
Oh my. I guess that's true.
That's sort of like dating.
Like the hostess industry.
No, what you need to really say is that in America we don't have princesses. So that doesn't even make sense.
Only the Hooters girl. Only the Hooters girl.
But I thought Paris Hilton was an American princess.
I guess maybe she is. She completely lacks class and is a total skag. Might as well be American royalty.
She's not the American princess. She's the princess of Americans.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, she's probably populated a small city if she... Okay, birth control would prevent that, but given 100 years ago, she would have populated a small city.
I thought you were just going to talk about the biodiversity in her gooch.
I find most other things about Paris Hilton far more offensive than her sexual promiscuity. I think that's the least offensive thing about her, actually. I'm more offended by her complete stupidity.
I'm very offended by the children's books that she wrote. Yeah, she wrote a children's book. Yeah. She wrote a book about her little dog.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I've read it. Yeah.
Wait, you've read this?
Yeah, I had to pick it up, but it was in Barnes & Noble. I had to see if this was a real thing.
It's a chair. Gerald.
Nothing but that.
If you are a Paris Hilton fan, that's okay. We can accept you.
No, you couldn't accept that. I wouldn't want you to accept that.
Just accept it, and you will be freed.
And it was really good.
I joined in on a panel that did get accepted, the Sentai panel, and I got in on there and pulled it from the depths of reading Wikipedia, add some color commentary, and make it not suck. And the guy was giving me the look the entire time, like, what are you doing to my panel? And I just didn't pay attention because I was saving his ass.
So. I'm sure a lot of people were doing that for me too, because I was like talking with them during the panel.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people get annoyed by that. It's just natural instinct for me.
Right. But I guess while we're doing it, my least favorite moment of the weekend was trying to pick up these clowns from the airport.
Oh, man, you had to do that?
Yes. Oh. 2 a.m.
You poor, poor bastard.
Yeah.
My worst moment was the fire drill, and it wasn't really that bad.
The fire drill was great. The fire drill was great. But if you're trying to get, you know, Daryl Calusa and Gerald, it was like, okay, first I came downtown, middle of the day, my car was practically like a speedboat going down 83 because it was like flooding.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it was sunny again, but everybody in Florida is just freaked right the hell out, so nothing could take off.
Ah, that's terrible.
So they got it at 10, he got it at 2, and I had to make 3 trips to the airport.
Damn.
Hardcore.
Sometimes God love you, man.
Yeah. Sometimes being a local.
Or as I say, Odin love you. So
being the local means you have to take one for the team sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I've been here like once every 4 years for Otakon, so I don't know where anything is. So I got lost at this hotel. I live in Frederick.
Oh God, help you!
I know. I have to find rides here because I don't feel I do not like driving my car in this city. It is not fun.
I don't like it either. I use a GPS all the time, and I live here.
Oh. Right.
Yeah. Yo, who's next?
I don't know, but actually, I did not introduce myself now, did I? Nobody will know who the hell my voice is.
Sandro Pertinazzo.
Yes, I am Sandro Pertinazzo as well, but I am Sean Cummings of the formerly known as Anime Lifestyle Podcast, until this jackass right behind me changed it.
I didn't change it, you changed it.
You wanted to change it. So it's now the Anime Brat Pack. And that is our podcast that might be coming out. We're trying to record a Code of Cut podcast of our own, but fuck it.
The puppy eyes. Like, literally.
Sorry.
That's okay. I just took the mic because it was given to me. Aaron, do you want the other mic?
Now we're kind of crossing here.
What an awful noise.
Exactly.
What do we think about the con? We got to answer questions now. We have microphones in our hands.
Yeah. Where is that phone? Well, besides the fire drill, it's been pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Milk fudge in Florida? No, they don't have condensed milk.
The fire drill is particularly annoying, but other than that, it's been good. Instead of getting to see Welcome to the Space Show, I got the excellent honor of talking to your friend and mine, Vic Mignogna. That was I got the short straw of the people in our team.
You did not think
and,
good, sir.
One of them had another interview, and two of them went to see Space Show, and so one of us had to talk to Vic, because that's when they gave us the slot. And guess who got the phone call last? I'll give you a hint. It's me. Right. Well, most of the time, we actually talked about Barry Manilow, because that's what got him into music, which is totally sweet, because, I mean, if Barry Manilow gets you into music, you know, you've got to have class, right?
Exactly.
Maybe.
Vic-kun, I did not see any actual voice actors this year.
The voice actors after Dark was funny, but, I mean, as funny as those things tend to be, I suppose.
Yeah.
Funimation announced one really good title, an okay title, and mostly the rest of it was stuff that made me want to cry.
Yeah.
Like a second season of Strike Witches.
No.
Yeah. Best show ever, guys. I'm thinking Academy Awards sometime, even though it's a TV show.
Oh, that's
but
terrible.
They announced Summer Wars, which is, I guess, the only thing that matters to anybody. And Eden of the East, and the Ava movie for people that care about Ava.
And if I may add...
Which I do.
They didn't announce it, but they are licensing the new OVA for Black Lagoon, which is awesome.
Yeah, the Madhouse panel was really great. I think Redline was the single coolest piece of animation I've ever seen. I think, like, that the trailer for Redline might be the coolest thing I've ever seen. Especially when you think that it's all hand-animated. I'm trying to think of the... Not quite. Well, I'm trying to think of the other shows that the style is similar to. How...
American government designs...
Dead Leaves, yeah. It's like it's like F-Zero in space with guns. Except like, everybody's cool and doesn't look goofy. Or drive a pink F-Zero car. And the music was really, really good, too. But apparently they're changing that, from what I heard. So the panels have been really good this year. That's a side note. Some of the other shows I've been to, the panels aren't as good. But panels here are really good. I just heard Clarissa say she's going to punch someone in the liver. I have to see this.
Yeah, I went to the Yoshida concert. Oh, it was packed, and I got lost, because even though I'm a four-year veteran of Otakon, I don't know where anything is anymore. I never knew
where anything was. You still don't know where anything is.
But when I finally got there, the line was already long as hell. But I don't know, like 15, 20 minutes, but it was constantly moving line, pretty much. And for the Yoshida Brothers. And that concert was, one way to describe it was epic. It was really awesome. Those dudes have talent, man.
We're gonna have to bleep that
their
word
shamisen.
Out of this,
and
segment.
The drummer was really good too. He was like Mike Portnoy good. He, like, threw away those goddamn. He just like switched from drumsticks to hand like instantly and all that. That like.
Yeah, I guess I'm just like playing drums and then he just drop his.
Yeah, he just drumsticks.
Did he do the what do you call it? The stick drop, like
the drumline stick throw down, where you're like, I just brought the gauntlet, son. Let's go.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it. He just threw it down and just continued. It was fucking.
No. The guy who brought his Taiko Drummaster kit, it like throws down on him like. Donkey Konga. Now the best answer in the voice actors after Dark panel, somebody was like, "What's the most awkward thing you've bought in a sex shop?" And the immediate response from one of the guys was Rock Band, which is by far and wide the funniest thing they said all night.
That is
most awkward thing you've bought in a sex shop, Rock Band.
Rock Band sex shop edition.
I don't know. I think it was the full like guitar and drum kit version. Because it's a sex shop, so they're not going to go low key with it. I mean,
you have to get that Beatles Stratocaster.
Or maybe they have the like special edition, like some crazy like Kiss, or like the Marilyn Manson version of Rock Band with your own vinyl suit, missing the dick part, with complimentary fake boobs, a la Mechanical Animals.
Yeah. But. Really, besides the Yoshida concert and all its epicness, the only disappointed thing I
You're going to have
say,
to bleep that too, by the way.
Well, besides the fire drill, which I missed the podcaster panel, which
probably wasn't that big.
Alan Chase.
Tomorrow, sadly, I am going to miss Dubs That Time Forgot. I saw it last year, but they haven't seen it yet. So I'm like, yeah, and it's different every year. So, but I gotta leave at 12. So, damn it.